Good morning, everyone. We are on day 28, Our Father, Our King. When people associate Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and the prayers, we always associate it with Avinu Malkeinu, with this seminal tefillah that is said repeatedly throughout Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. What makes this tefillah so important? So in the chapter, I shared the famous story that's recorded in the Talmud of this drought which took place in Israel. It was during the times of the Mishnah, and since Israel, of course, is an agriculturally based society, the drought, the lack of rain, made the Jewish people then feel incredibly desperate. No rain, of course, could mean really awful things. So there were all these attempts basically to appease, to push and to daven and to press Hashem to bring forth rain. And one rabbi after the next came forward, the Talmud says, with all these different fancy prayers, until Rabbi Akiva stepped forward and just started with the Avinu Malkeinu, just a simple refrain, Our Father, Our King, the heavens opened, it began to rain. And of course, the Jewish community was safe. So the question is, what is it about this tefillah that makes it so powerful? One thing I didn't emphasize as much in the chapter that I wanted to share now was, it's not just the prayer itself, but who's offering the prayer. Rabbi Akiva is famously celebrated throughout the world, and certainly here at MJE, for being the quintessential Baal Tshuva. Started only learning about Judaism at the age of 40, went to a cheder, went to study Hebrew with five-year-olds, and became arguably one of the greatest Talmudic scholars that ever lived. So it could be the zechut, the merit that of someone who comes back to their Judaism, which is really what Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is all about, for all of us, returning to our roots, returning to our tradition, to our heritage. And here is Rabbi Akiva praying on behalf of the whole community. Look at his life. He carries with him tremendous, tremendous merits because of the way he turned his life around, and not at a very particularly young age either. So that's one thing. But what I focused in the chapter was what's in the Avinu Malkeinu and those words. And they really depict the dual relationship that we have with Hashem. On one hand, Hashem is a father, compassionate parent, can't really kind of say no. Like any parents listening to this know that when your kids come to you and they really want something, it's hard to say no. And then at the same time, he's a Malkeinu, he's a king. He's a sovereign with authority, and we are supposed to be his loyal subjects obeying him. And there are actually different tefillot throughout the liturgy that speak to these different aspects of our relationship. I mentioned in the chapter the Ashrei, which is said three times a day, speaks really about the sort of parent relationship we have with Hashem, about how close and loving our relationship with Hashem is. Famous verses from the Ashrei that depict this. You open up your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Karav Hashem l'chol karav. God is close to all call upon him. Shomer Hashem et kol avav. God protects those who love him. These are all verses that depict our loving, close, sort of parent relationship that Hashem has with us. But of course, we have other prayers that depict more of the malchus, the kingship, which is one of the great themes of Rosh Hashanah. We're crowning God as king of the universe. Right before we say the Ashrei every day, and certainly, of course, in Shabbat, we have another prayer called the Yehi Kavod, also from the book of Psalms, from Tehillim, where it really speaks about more about God's transcendental relationship with the Jewish people, with humanity, that God is Ram al Kol Goyim, he's high above all nations. He established his throne in the heavens. Hashem Yimloch Le'olam V'ed, we say Hashem, God will reign for all eternity. It's like the other side of the coin. It's the more disciplined king side of the coin. And this is the dual nature that we have with our one God, that Hashem is both a king who rules over us, and he's a loving parent who cares for us. Now, I want to throw in something I didn't mention in the chapter. All of this, I believe, is coming from a place of love. Even the kingship, the disciplinary God who expects things from us and is judging us on this Rosh Hashanah, that too is coming from a place of love. Because why does Hashem bring us into existence? King David in the book of Psalms says, Olam chesed yibaneh, that the world is built on kindness. Hashem didn't have to create us. But once he does create us, or just like a parent who brings their child into the world and gives them so much love, if they don't give them some discipline, if they don't expect anything from them, if they don't evaluate them and do some kind of judgment, then that's not love. Okay, that's just, I don't even know what the word is, but it ain't love. Okay, and that's why it's okay, we said before, to be evaluated and to be judged, because it shows love. What shows the opposite is neglect. I'll do whatever you want. I don't really care. You can just, you know, do what makes you feel good. Right? That's not a loving parent, and that's not a loving God. So even the kingship, even the malchus, the sovereignty, which seems to demand, you know, a certain behavior from us, which seems, you know, difficult and requires discipline, even that is coming from a place of love, both our relationship with Hashem as a king and as a parent. Have a great day.